Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, sports fans, Coach Nick here, and welcome to the B-Ball Breakdown live show coming at you after the Heat just fell apart, the Celtics completely demolished the Heat in Game 5 in the Garden. I am joined today by my friend Ben Guest, who's a basketball coach as well and has been part of the podcast. You might have heard his voice later. Ben, how are you doing?
Great game.
Was it?
Not so great game, but interesting series.
Well, we'll find out more about that as we get into this conversation. With Combo, as always, being joined remotely over in New York. Combo, what's going on, my man?
Excited to have Ben on the show, man. How are you guys? How are you, Ben? How are you, Coach Nick?
We're good. We're good. I exposed Ben to one of my favorite restaurants at halftime and got some good food from there. Right? That was a good experience.
Yeah, I was in a food coma for about 10 minutes.
Ooh. What'd you guys eat?
It was a hot vegetable and chicken udon. Bowl, like, you know, thing with vegetables and cabbage and chicken.
So you got the noodles, right? And then at the end, and then Coach Nick did this on his own. He got these green tea strawberry chocolate chip cookies. That's what put the
call. Oh, Coach Nick didn't mention that one.
Yeah, no, I had an extra one, but the wife's gonna want to eat that one too bad because I really, really, you know, can't stop eating it. But let's I don't like blowouts, if you didn't figure that out. I don't care really who wins and who loses. Obviously, more games is kind of better for business in theory for me. So it's like, it's not like I'm cheering against the Celtics or anything. I had said this before. I was really just hoping to have a weekend. This weekend was going to be out of town. I had to go somewhere. And now I got to deal with like the game, which I'm not going to be able to watch. I have to be at an event on Saturday at exactly the time that the game starts. So but either way, you know, more basketball is good. But what'd you make of this combo of what happened, I guess, to start the game and how it never really changed?
I think it all starts with defense. When it comes to the Celtics, over the last three halves, they've been contesting shots at a way higher level. And on the other thing I look at is the rebounding. Like, they're just more active. They look more athletic. They look bigger. They look more talented. We always knew this team was more talented, but now it's really started to show, especially in these last three halves, that it kind of looks scary for the Heat right now, even though they got two games to win one.
It does. Well, you know, we can't discount the absence of Gabe Vincent, right? He really helps them, you know, get organized and run their offense well, you know, and those kind of things. And you lose a player like that, it does shift everything and get everything thrown off. So that was definitely something. The video I did for today, if you didn't see it, seemed to cause a bit of a firestorm from Jimmy Butler fans, because I made the observation from game 4 and then looked back in game 3-2-1 where you saw that he doesn't even look at the basket when Tatum is guarding him. And so they constantly search for better matchups, which is fine. I totally get it, because if you're looking at a guy that should be able to defend Butler the best, it's a long, athletic, strong guy like Tatum. So, you don't want to do that. I get it. It was just startling that he doesn't even look at the basket. He literally is like looking anywhere else or like calling somebody over, please screen and whatever. It just is interesting. So meanwhile, I was like, okay, what's going to happen in this game? Because I think Jimmy Butler might have seen this. He got tagged, I would say, 150 times today on Twitter with my video. And I'm like, oh, no, I hope he doesn't know where I live. But so there was two ways that this can go. Either he would light them up for like 55 points and show everybody he's not afraid of Jason Tatum, or Jason Tatum would end up, you know, he'd go at him finally, and Jason Tatum would either get scored on or he'd defend. Well, we saw a couple times he actually did. Did you see that, Combo? Did you notice that? He went at Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, he probably did see it. I don't think you have anything to worry about. I don't think Jimmy Butler's showing up at your house, Coach Nick. I would say I don't think Jimmy Butler is scared of any basketball player. I don't think most NBA players are scared of any basketball player, but especially Jimmy Butler, Coach Nick. I thought the video was amazing. But I have to disagree with you on that point. Because, no, this is why. If you watch Heat games, like, he does this. Like, this is what he does. I know he hasn't been doing it in the playoffs, But Jimmy Butler, he doesn't really care about scoring. He just does it when he has to. And like, there's a bunch of regular season Heat games that he actually plays just like this. And then he turns it up in the playoffs. So I don't think he's scared of Tatum, but you know, we'll see what develops the rest of the series. We'll see if he'll go off next game.
Well, when you say he plays like this, like kind of disengaged and unaggressive and weird kind of turnover stuff too. I mean, that's not the Jimmy they need.
Yeah, I agree with you, but they kind of win games and he does what he has to do, and he almost rather other people score the basketball. That happens a lot in the regular season. This guy could average. He'd probably be tired by the end of the regular season, but he could average over 30 if he wanted to. I'm confident in that. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, we talked about this before the game. Once it was announced that Vincent was out, I was saying I think it'd be a good idea to start Jimmy at the point, keep Lowry coming off the bench, and start Martin, who's just been on a heater all playoffs, because kind of like what Combo's saying. I mean, Jimmy is good at all facets of the game. And so if he's disengaged with his scoring, which he only took 10 shots tonight, you know, then maybe he picks it up with his assists and playmaking. But that didn't happen. They started Lowry. Lowry's 2-6 with 4 turnovers. I think the story of the game is turnovers. If you look at the team stats, they're all pretty equal except turnovers. Miami Heat had 16 turnovers to Boston's 9. 6 turnovers from Bam. I'm sure we'll talk about Bam in a minute. 4 turnovers from Lowry, and Celtics were just hitting their shots, hitting their threes.
Yeah, and before we go any further, let's tell everybody that if you're out there and you want our question answered, the best way to do that is with the Super Chat over on YouTube. It really helps us keep the show going, and we'll give you a lot of love and put you on the screen and talk to you about this. So we have our first one. Let's bring it up here now from Joe B. Thank you so much, Joe B. And there's more. There's Tsurugi Azukino. Azukino, thank you so much. Remember how Boston was struggling from deep in game 3? The way they were shooting it tonight compared to game 3 is night and day. Without question. Now, remember, the second half of that's not exactly accurate. They shot actually pretty okay in game. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of game 4. Game 3, you're right. Terrible. Game 4, they were better. There was an indication that the Celtics were going to maybe regress back to the mean, which is shoot better than they were because they were so bad in the first few games. But I got to tell you, this was a blitzkrieg. I mean, this was insane what we saw tonight. The ball, and you could sense, remember we talked about this before in the last show about how you need to be in a certain frame of mind to be able to shoot well from 3, and then it's contagious. And then the opposite is also true, where when you get emotionally disquieted, what's the word I'm looking for? Emotionally unbalanced.
Tight.
It's contagious too. The team can go that way, and now you're just shot putting, and you're not smooth on their shots. You can't make threes. This was the thing that you can tell. The crowd was feeding off of it, right? And they were all just sort of like, when it missed, it was a shock. You know what I mean?
Social contagion is a real thing, Coach Nick. I think we talked about that before, but you're absolutely right. The way they shot the basketball was just phenomenal. That's how, I mean, like, they always say it, make or miss league, right? That's really how it is. Like, if you're knocking down threes, and you talk about this all the time, if one team hits a lot more threes than the other team, it gives them a tremendous chance to win no matter what else is happening.
Yeah, and tonight was the Heat hit 9. And by the way, the Heat went 9 for 23, 39%. That's good. But the Celtics hit 16 and went out of 39 for 41%. So, you know, they were and they were probably even hotter. We'll have to – in a minute I'll reload the box score when I can isolate just the first half. They had to be even hotter than that, like, earlier on too, where they hit, like, a whole bunch. And it was like, you know, they got them a big lead. Yeah.
I got a question for you guys. After Caleb Martin's knee buckled, did you see a difference in the way he was playing? Because I couldn't really figure it out if he was hurt or not.
Wait, when did his knee buckle?
When did his knee
buckle? First half, he drove in the lane. There was like 3 people guarding him.
Yeah.
And then his knee buckled. He went to the floor.
Huh.
Yeah.
No. We were behind a little bit, so we were kind of skipping through on some of the pauses. So I almost feel like maybe I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. I mean, I'm a knee surgery guy. Like, I've been through a lot of them, so maybe it hits me harder than other people. But it looked pretty bad, in my opinion.
And did you see that him? Was he affected afterwards with the movement?
I was trying to figure it out. Like, he made some physical drives, but he didn't look quite as shifty, in my opinion. And he's actually been like really shifty throughout this playoffs. Like he's
He's been tremendous. I mean, remember the first half of game four, he was better than Tatum. He was really like just killing him and it looked great. And as he develops more confidence, he seems like he's, you know, playing better. Cause again, he was playing over his head. He might still be playing over his head. So the question for the Heat are is like, is Gabe Vincent and, you know, if he comes back and he's healthy and Martin, if these guys kind of, you know, come back to playing within what they normally do and the Celtics start to actually make some threes, do they come back from 3-0 and win the series? It's certainly a possibility, even though obviously here's my, I guess my prediction would be this is a must win game for Miami now at home. If they don't win this one, I really feel like going back, first of all, you have to favor the home team in a game seven anyway, they have all the momentum. So you'd have to kind of treat it that way.
I don't know if you can say it's a must win. But I mean, you definitely go to Boston for game seven. But to Combo's point, Jimmy Butler doesn't fear anything or anybody. So even in a game seven, Jimmy Butler, I'm sure, will ball out. But Caleb Martin was shooting 57%. And I think he had his first shot when he came in, but he finished the game 5 of 12. So maybe the knee buckling did affect his game. He definitely was much less productive and efficient than he has been the rest of the postseason.
So you have to wonder what happened at halftime of Game 4. If you compare the box scores from the first half to the second half, you'll see a complete and utter turnaround from the Celtics. And you have to wonder what happened in that locker room to improve their fortunes so much. Sometimes it's as simple as getting proper hydration and nutrition, which is exactly what you'll get with Factor. They'll deliver fresh, never frozen, dietitian-approved meals right to your door. I've got experience with this sort of thing, and let me tell you, Factor's meals are the best I've ever tasted and the absolute easiest to prepare. Literally put their tray in the microwave for 2 minutes and eat. This turkey, chili, and zucchini was terrific, and I love that there's no mess once you're finished. Meal plans range from 4 to 18 meals per week with choices like keto, calorie smart, chef's choice, and vegan and veggie. These meals are so much better than ordering in. Plus, they're healthy, filling, and make life so much easier for me. I can enjoy a garlic and herb chicken breast during halftime of Game 5 and won't miss any of the action. Head to Factor75.com or click the link below and use code BballBreakdown50 to get 50% off your first Factor box. I really think Brown and Tatum must have heated up some Factor meals during halftime in Game 4. And while I also loved HelloFresh's meals in the past, Factor is now owned by them and gives you even more excellent choices for fresh, great-tasting meals delivered right to your door with my special code BBALLBREAKDOWN50. Great point. We have another super chat to get to, so we have a few, actually. So thank you so much for Joe on that one. And Dirk, thank you. My goodness. I don't even know what A is. What would A be? It's not Australia, is it? I don't even remember. But someone tell me what A means. Because it's a dollar sign. So anyhow, very, very generous. Thank you so much. You know what, YouTube, you got to change this and give us the name of the currency when we get this. But thank you, Dirk. Every game the Celtics play like that after going 0-3 gets me angrier at these a-holes. Suddenly they can play with effort and purpose. What gives? Ugh, I'm upset still. Well, listen, you got to be happy if you're a Celtics fan. Like, you got to, you know, take the wins where you get them. But I hear you, because it was frustrating, right? The Heat defense, and we kept showing this, they were coming so far off of the men on the weak side and like even one pass away because they felt like the Celtics weren't going to hit those shots. The problem, though, with the Heat is that they made them in the game four. So they needed, in my mind, they needed to adjust for game five, and they didn't. They kept coming way up and getting way out of position, and these were easy practice shots that they had been missing in games one and two, or not even throwing to them in the corners, and then they hit them. That's pretty much the difference here. You can't give a professional team, you know, that many opportunities, I would think. I think eventually they're going to start hitting, especially in a seven-game series.
What do you guys feel they could do to be better on the boards next game? And I'm talking about the Miami Heat.
It's tough because outside of Bam, who do they have? One of my notes in the game is, I don't know that Kevin Love is playable. And that's your other, you know, in theory, that's your other big rebounder. But he's just, you know, age has caught up and he's just a step slow on any kind of defensive switch.
It looked worse than usual today.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He looked like he was moving in glue.
Well, it looks worse than usual if he's not hitting like threes and sort of caught being that guy who's, you know, balancing him out on the other end.
Yeah.
He was 2 for 7, 0 for 1 from three. He wasn't getting threes. He wasn't making them. And that's the real litmus test for him. He's got to be making them. It brings the defense out. It gets some better spacing and to hide or to balance out the defensive issues. So, they're really, really shorthanded. And without, you know, Gabe Vincent, it's really tough. They actually got some decent minutes from Zeller, right? Like he.
Except for that one.
Yeah, they got decent. They got decent minutes from Zeller, from Duncan Robinson, from Highsmith. I mean, that's tough to do. Like to not play the entire playoffs and come in and knock down shots like that. That is not an easy feat. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
Robinson was balling out. But to Dirk's question, to Combo's point earlier about it's a make or miss league, to your point, Coach, the only difference in the game is the Celtics were hitting their threes. And I think it was Grant Williams a few games ago said, look, when we hit our threes, the offense looks great. When we don't hit our threes, the offense looks terrible. And that's what it is. It's a make or miss league, and the Celtics made them tonight. If you look at the team numbers, they're almost exactly the same across the board. Miami Heat shot 51%. Celtics shot 51%. 39% from three, 41% from three. Rebounds about the same. The only differences are the turnovers, and the Celtics hit 16 threes to the Miami Heat's 9 threes. That's the ball game.
And one thing about the three is the energy jolt, right? The crowd gets into it. The team likes each other a lot better. They get more energy on the defensive end. Like that was clearly, they were energized on that end, which they hadn't been. And it makes a coach look so much better, right? Mazzulla was like a great coach tonight when they just nail those threes. Everything else sort of fits together off of that. And that's the nature of the game these days. And we'll have to find out. I mean, listen, the Heat could get hot just like that in home in game six and end the series right there. Because here's the thing. The Heat played poorly enough that they probably should have been beaten by 30. And it should have been 25, like, for most of that second half. But they kept, like, you know, hanging around sort of. And I couldn't quite understand that because they really felt that bad. The turnovers were terrible. Now, we have to get into one more thing so we know what we're going to talk about. But let's get some more Super Chats real quick before it gets too late in the show here. But, again, thank you, guys.
Questions. These are great questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Always. Thabiti Scott, thank you so much. Will Boston be the first to come back from 0-3 and win a series? I give them as much possibility as anybody we've ever had in the history. You know what I mean? This is a good opportunity, A, because there's some injuries going on with the Heat. And B, there's some regression to the mean. What do you think, Combo? Is this something that they can actually pull off?
I do, because I said it all along, the Heat are at a talent deficit when it comes to a lot of other teams in the playoffs. I just think they have the best coaching staff. But now there's pressure on the coaching staff and the team at a very high level. I mean, it's only two games here, so we'll see what develops. I wonder what the conversation will be around Spo, like if this does go to game seven, you know, because then there's a chance he could lose four in a row.
Wow. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, listen, would Gabe Vincent have done much? Like, again, it's really unclear. I mean, I can even remember when I was coaching at the high school level and, you know, I had a guard who's kind of like Gabe Vincent, actually. And he had to go to like SAT, take an SAT on a Sunday game we had in the tournament. And it was like the first time he hadn't played that year. And same thing happened. And I remember turning to him when he came back the next day. I'm like, can you let me know that we're going to get destroyed when you don't play next time? So maybe we could do something with the schedule, because, you know, I had no idea. But the point being that you take out your guard, who is like a steady influence and a guy that can handle the ball well, you're going to get turnovers. Probably you're going to get all, you know, players in different roles in your offense all of a sudden suddenly shifted that way. And it really, they were uncomfortable without question offensively. But Jimmy has got to be better. I mean, you know, he did go at Tatum a little bit, and probably in response to me. So thanks, Jimmy. And Jimmy, I love you, Jimmy. I really love you. I think, I spotted him like the first game he played for the Bulls. Like I knew this guy was serious. And so, you know, nothing against you. It's just like, you know, and that was great. It would have been awesome to see him actually go at Tatum and be successful. My memory is I know one of them he did. It did not go well at all for Jimmy, but not much did tonight.
And on the numbers real quick for the series, 150 times a team has been down 0-3. 11 times it's gone to game six, which this series is now going to game six. So they're already in the top whatever ninth percentile that is, eighth percentile of
how teams. How many go to seven? Do you know? I know no team won, but has it gone to seven?
I think it was either five or three. They ran the graphic during the game.
They all lost, obviously.
They all lost. It was five. Yeah. Maybe 11 went to game six and three went to game seven. So
that's crazy.
But I 100% agree with Combo. If any team's going to do it, it's this team.
Yeah, for sure. We got another Super Chat. Let's go to Jason Kelly, friend of the breakdown. Jason, thank you so much. Joker being the best is rough for the NBA because he won't market himself. and great for basketball junkies, rough for casuals. Casuals drive market. It's a really, really great point. Right?
Totally co-signed.
So we, and by my judgment, you can't put Jokic as a superstar because he doesn't have the endorsement factor, which you kind of need to be the superstar, right? You could be all NBA and all-star and an MVP, all that stuff. But the superstar status always has been, for me, you got to be able to have that commercial appeal as well, which is why Kawhi was almost like, you know, kind of borderline for me. And why another reason why you could put Russ as a superstar, because his commercials were so damn good. Remember those ones he did with Mountain Dew? You don't remember the Russ Mountain Dew? Oh, my God. Remember those combo where like you drink it and you all of a sudden have like the crazy fat shirt on that was really ugly looking? Remember that? And then Russ would have to like respond, like, that ain't it, bro. Whatever you say, it was hilarious. I loved it. Or the ones where he's sliding across the concrete, you know, in that pose. No? All right. Anyway, so those are great for Russ. But yeah, you're right. Jokic, you know, it would be nice for him to do some think pieces and have some people spotlight him and maybe come on my show and break some stuff down. Well, maybe we'll make that happen. What do you think, Combo?
I think that's a great idea. I think with Jokic, it's almost like the Tim Duncan, even Dirk a little bit, and you mentioned Kawhi. I think those guys are so good that even though they're not marketable, they defy the odds and they're still a superstar in their own right, just from how good they are at basketball. Like, it's hard to say Tim Duncan wasn't a superstar, but I do see what you're saying from like a marketability standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. And that's too bad because you're right. I'm worried by the ratings. The ratings for the finals, if it's not the Celtics, I mean, the Celtics should help. But I don't know about you, but the Celtics aren't – I don't get, like, a ton of views generally on my Celtics videos. It's like there seems to be either they all hate me or they're just, like, you know, there's enthusiasm from a smaller group, you know, but it doesn't compare to, like, the Warriors or the Lakers. I'm trying to think of any other teams that are up there. But
what's the third team after the Warriors and Lakers?
You know what?
I think because you live on the West Coast – I think you get more traction on the West Coast. I noticed that when I do Knicks podcast, there's like a lot of traction with like Knicks stuff.
Live on YouTube, right?
Maybe the time you put it out. I don't know.
Yeah. That's no, I mean, I played every version of time and we're, you know, going on 12 years, you know what? The Celtics actually might be up there, but I don't think they're the third. They might be like top five. So, you know, so it will have to, I mean, we'll see. Maybe my channel doesn't mirror like the overall NBA sphere. We'll see.
Like when I went on the Kings radio show, like people in the comments knew me for B-ball breakdown, and I felt that it was more like that because it was a West Coast team.
Interesting.
All right. Well, so there you go. It's an interesting market. And by the way, I'm worried because again, I think we mentioned this before. If you look at some of the commercials that are airing, I haven't paid attention to it as much in the conference finals, but the round before, we were seeing some really low budget commercials that were airing in the middle of national, you know, games. And that's not a good sign because you have to imagine that their budgets for ad buys is not as high as Ford, right? You know what I mean? And they can't get those bigger guys to buy ad spots than what's going on here. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even picture like a car commercial in the middle of an NBA game. Maybe right. The finals will see it, but that's usually like that's how you know you're like in the Super Bowl of events.
Do you guys have Joker as the best player in the league?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean I had Luka for a while, but I can't hold on to that anymore.
Yeah, I have Jokic is the best.
Yeah, I mean I could go with that. I mean it, the usual suspects, and none of them are American, right? Giannis, Jokic, Luka, who else gets in that conversation?
Jimmy.
Jimmy Tatum,
SGA.
Jimmy's a tier above Tatum.
It's a hard because which Jimmy we're talking about? We're talking about playoff Jimmy. Playoff. All right, so yeah.
What do you guys think about SGA in that mix?
He's too early to be there. Yeah, you know he needs some more hype. Enough. Really?
Yeah.
And he's not American either.
Oh, he's not?
Canadian.
Oh.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Forgot about that. He's Canadian. What's the water in Canada?
So I think him and Anthony Edwards have great chances to like take on some MVPs in the future. So I'll be interested if he'll go to the American side or the international side. But I mean, Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid, they'll be around for a while too.
So. Actually, the guy I would put in the similar vein to SGA, for me, I put him above SGA is Halliburton. I think Halliburton.
Wow. I love Halliburton. That's interesting. I mean, I've been a Halliburton guy since Iowa State, was really high on him, thought the Knicks should have drafted him. But SGA is just different. But Halliburton got, like, elite feel for basketball. That's what he has. Like, SGA is more elite, like, cadence of his game, craftiness. chunk, like wiry game. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A little more athletic than Halliburton, but Halliburton's makes everybody around him better, more than SGA does. I'll give you that.
And Halliburton's got a better jumper from deep.
He does. He does.
It ain't prettier, but it goes in more. So, yeah. Well, let's go to the next super chat. We got another one from Joe B. Thank you again. He's rapidly becoming a friend of the breakdown. Last I checked, Kevin only played 5 minutes tonight. I think he got more. Wait, is that what Butler? No, Love got 14. Yeah, so he got his couple runs. He only plays about 18. He might have missed one run where they get him up.
Did he start the second half?
No, he didn't. Right? Didn't we know? Yeah, he did not start the second half. So who did then? Because Lowry was still in there. It was probably Martin.
Robinson was balling out, or Martin. Yeah.
I think it was Martin that started the second half.
But that's but Combo mentioned Robinson earlier. Robinson, it was really, you know, why it wasn't a 30-point blowout. Robinson was balling out, going to the basket.
Yeah, he attacked the rim. Nice closeout on the other side, then attacked the rim again. Like, that was big for them, but it just didn't mean anything.
Well, and that dime he had to Zeller cutting, was a nice find, and then nice hands by Zeller in a close combat. He caught it, and he finished. So I wanted to make sure, because Zeller, his minutes were so bad, generally. They got to get it, just, you know, cut those.
Without checking, Coach, how many assists did Duncan Robinson have?
I already saw.
Okay.
I just saw.
9 assists.
No, I saw 7.
I guess 9 on
Duncan Robinson?
Yeah. Coach Nick, did you see Zeller dive on the floor? I know you're not a fan of diving on the floor.
I know. Wait, who dove on the floor?
Zeller. It was actually I think right before he made that layup, or right after maybe.
All right. Wow. Did we watch the same game?
I'm wondering. We noticed when Zeller first got in, there was a pick and roll with and he walked left Rob Williams, walked to the other side, and it was just a dive to the basket.
Well, he was sinking or containing on the left side of the right side of the floor, but the pick was kind of to the left, and he never even reacted or moved. And then Tatum just goes right to the basket. Yeah, it was really bad. But other than that, he had that really nice shot fake dribble and then dunk underneath the basket off of that was good. And then that other one from Robinson. So again, that's Duncan Robinson, you know, dribble drive artist is going to, you know, is short lived, I imagine. But that's what happens when you chase the guy off the line like that. And again, we talked about this a number of times. It's so nice to see a guy like him have dribbling skills and have the ability to actually do that, where, you know, the JJ Redicks in the past and the Kyle Korvers simply did not have that skill. They were only going to be catch and shoot guys, maybe a dribble or shot fake, one dribble and pull. But now you got the Struces and you got the Robinsons who have some skills, and it's great to see.
I don't even look at Strus as a shooter. Like, I think he's just a good all around player in general.
Yeah. 100%. I hear you. He looks kind of like the role of the shooter, but you're right. He handles the ball a lot, and he had a nice midi pull up in game 4. I can't picture anything tonight. And he's got kind of a higher release point too, sometimes, which is interesting to me, but he can get that to go in.
I watch. I was in Vegas for Summer League. He put on a show. Like, he was just a hooper, man. He was Summer League. Struce was different. That was like Bubble Murray.
Are you doing Summer League this year, Combo?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm getting some feelers out there. I'm getting my schedule. I think I'm
going to do a live show. We got to do a live show in person.
Yeah, we'll get on the court and film some stuff too.
Coach, let me ask you a question. So Robinson, right, finished with 18 points, 9 assists, just playing a great game. And he was on the bench for months. So the mental side of that, I think we have to give him his props for being able to come in after not playing for months.
Absolutely. That's tough, because you'd be sitting there, you're brooding, you're angry, you're, you know, whatever. But again, there's a culture there with the Heat. Stay ready, you know, keep working on your game. I mean, heck, we've seen Spoelstra get out there on individual instruction and actually work with the players directly, right? Yeah. And I would hope he can probably still do that in a way that's the connection you'd need, because I think that if you get buried in the bench, sometimes players probably don't even talk to the coach for a week or so. They probably feel so completely disjointed. But I know that Spoelstra does that at times, and maybe he still does, is he'll get on the court with you, and he'll rebound, and he'll pass it to you, and you know what I mean? That's really important if you want that buy-in, because the players feel like you're trying to help them get better, even if they're not getting the playing time they want. But I know Duncan Robinson a little bit, and he's a pro. You know, that's not going to bother him at all. He's going to be ready. So let's get to our next Super Chat. What do you say? We have Barth 3400. Excuse me. I guess we're a little bit behind now. We have so many coming in, but we'll get to this one and all the other ones soon. So stay tuned. Barth 3400. Thank you so much from Canada. You hoser. Is it just me, or has Lowry been unplayable lately? He was unplayable tonight. There's no question. It was weird. They came in and there's a mindset, right? They were kind of blitzed in the beginning, and you could tell they had the deer in the headlights feel. You know what I mean?
And Lowry looked a step slow, just like Love. You know, I wonder if this every other day cadence for the older players is starting to take a toll.
What do you think, Kembo?
Yeah, I mean, he's up and down. That's kind of how it goes when you get old. Some days you have it, some days you don't. And on those days you have it, you feel like you're going to have it every day, but then it's just not there. So,
are you younger than Lowry?
How old is he?
35.
I'm older.
Yeah,
but I feel good every day. I'm combo. I'm different.
All right. I was just thinking the last time I played competitive basketball, and it's probably been like 10 years. That's how sad it's been. And
yeah, I play in the gym often, but yeah, no.
I was in the court yesterday working with a player, and I came home and my right Achilles was so sore. Just from that, I couldn't believe it.
Have you been stretching?
No. And I haven't gone to stretch lab for a while either. I go to my, weekly stretch lab where they stretch the SHIT out of me. And I kind of haven't done that either. I've been too busy. But, yeah, I got to get back on that. So that's for my state of play.
Is Kyle only 36? That's not even that old, really, in my opinion.
I mean, it's getting there. It's getting there. And he's had, he's played a lot of games. But, and he's not like the most
athletic,
but I don't know how well he takes care of himself either, right? He tends to be a little bit on the heavy side a lot of the time, and he looks heavy, doesn't he?
A source told me that he's like one of the only guys that doesn't have those clauses in his contract.
I was wondering because I was like, why?
He didn't want those, and yeah. I guess they allowed that.
Yeah. Well, I guess good for them. And what's up, Martin? Good to see you in the comments. Always great to see you out there. Joe B is a superstar tonight. He's a superstar. We'll give him the superstar status. Thank you so much, Joe B. Do you see Spo putting more focus on running Boston off the three-point line next game? So, yes. I mean, if they don't, then I'm going to have to discount Spo's coaching ability a little bit, because it's not even like running off the three-point line. They have to stop over-helping. They are pushing up off the corners so far, especially in that first half. There's a couple of those corner threes where the guys, they were like just out of position where they didn't need to be. And it worked for three games, but not anymore. And like, I guess you could wait and see if it's going to go back to game one, two, and three, but I don't think so at this point. I think that they've found something here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like we talked about this versus the Knicks, like they didn't have to run people off the line, but it didn't matter.
Right. Yeah. This is interesting. So we had a super chat, by the way, that's the same question as we just answered. And I still see it here, but it looks like it's message retracted. But like, can I put it up? We're going to give them love anyway. I don't know if it's still there or not, but let's give – and thank you, Joe, for the other question. But PWalk03, listen, he wants to know, is Kyle Lowry unplayable at this point? The Heat had no more playmaking guards with Hero, Oladipo, Vincent, all gone during game five. So we might as well give you answer that question. Again, anything else about Lowry? Could he come back and actually give him some good minutes? We've seen him play better in the series, right?
Yeah, he played fine in game. Was
I think? I think it was other series too. He had some big games,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, he looked terrific in some of those series. Really, like saved them. I think Butler went down. Remember in game one of whatever series that was, and I think it was in the fourth quarter.
Two versus the Knicks, I think. Right?
Yeah. I would expect him to rebound. So especially at home, so they'll take a plane home tonight, bathe in the shores of the Atlantic.
Minnetonka.
Oh, look at you. I didn't think you saw that movie. That. Whoa. He doesn't know any movies. He doesn't know any TV, and he's pulling Purple Rain on us? What?
I think I got it from Dave Chappelle. I think he talked about it.
Oh, okay. The
Lake of Minnetonka.
Well, that's the real ones know that. All
Apollonia.
Right.
Yeah. Old heads know.
Yeah, Apollonia. Well, okay, who would you like better, Apollonia and Purple Rain?
Unless you say Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, exactly, and he got game. We got to have a whole show about that. Okay. All right. So thank you so much, PWalk, for the message. Now we have another guest. Let's bring in Chris. What's up, my man? Uh-oh. Are you muted? I'm not muting you, but maybe you muted yourself. Or get that mic going, man. Get those AirPods moving. Either way, this is good. We got other people we can talk to. He'll figure it out, but we don't hear you. Maybe you can hear us, but we don't hear you. So make it happen, Captain.
My last point about Lowry, which I mentioned earlier, I'm curious to see, because I think Lowry off the bench is a better look.
Yeah.
So either Vincent's back, or I would start Martin and play Jimmy at the point.
I wouldn't be upset at that. I think that there is some sort of alchemy going on with Lowry and the bench. You're right. The game gets going. He can kind of observe, see where the rhythms are, and then get in there and find his niche. Wow.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. That's interesting.
Can you guys hear me now?
Oh, there you are.
We can hear you.
All right. That was ESPN's website just suddenly starting to play music. Always good to know. Like, you know, we have another super chat here from Jared Cusio. There doesn't seem to be a question, but it's your first super chat. So maybe he's just saying hi. Thank you so much, Jared. I really appreciate it. And if I, oh, here, we'll give it. There's a, the question is below that. So I'll kind of read it out here. No, you don't see it on the screen. He says, can you explain why the Celtics continue to unnecessarily switch so much in the pick and roll? I wish I could explain that. In the video I did for today, you could see, like, you know, because here's the thing with Jimmy. He's not a threat from the three-point line when they set those high ball screens. You should just be able to go underneath and not have to switch, and then Tatum can stay on him the whole time. It is mind-boggling, and it's what the little birdie told me today, that that's the coaching staff. That's what they want him to do. They want him to switch. I can't explain it. Anybody have another explanation?
Little birdies are always right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Does anyone want to argue with me and tell me that they need to keep switching because that's the way they, you know, some sort of keep it consistent?
Yeah. I guess it worked today.
That's just like, yeah, that's the league, though. Everyone just needlessly switches when they really don't have to. That's what I see.
Or they go drop.
I feel like a lot of teams do. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's those two, right?
It doesn't make any sense to me. All right, I'll put this one up for him so we can see that one. So thank you, Jared, so much for the super chat. It's his first one, so he's no longer a rookie.
That's a baffling decision. There's an even greater baffling decision that Nick and I were talking about, but maybe let's see if anybody gets it in the chat. There was a baffling decision on Miami's part that they went to repeatedly that did not yield results at all, except for
Posting up of Bam.
Yeah, if you're following me on Twitter, we're supposed to let the audience hear that out, Chris. Come on now.
My God.
That was the spoiler, but yes. I tweeted out at one point because I think the first like four possessions they go into Bam in the post. Now Bam's post game has always been suboptimal. He does, and part of the big problem is if you watch him, his footwork is terrible in the sense that he gets so wide in his stances that like his knees cave in and he's off balance all the time. If you notice that, his legs are kind of small, I think, as well. I feel like relative to his body, he's got thin legs. But he gets so outside of his cylinder. I had one from game four that I shared with somebody on a text because it was like I couldn't understand how he didn't like to snap his ankle because there was so much torque on it. The way he planted, it was like 5 feet in front of him. It's horrible. So he needs to fix his – he needs to get band work and really fix his the size of his steps because he gets so out of control. But I tweeted out saying if they post him up one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. And then they went to it again, like four or five times in a row again, whatever it was. This is not. And by the way, then finally what they did do, which was right, was a two-man game with him and Robinson. And it could have been two-man game with him and Lowry. Throw it to him, follow it. He hands it back. They get in the air. They know those little pocket passes for him rolling. Why? Where are that? Why won't they do that? It was insane what they were doing offensively. And that's a Spoelstra thing, too. He needed to be able to get them organized and figure that out.
Had six turnovers. And Bam is only 6'9". So with that wide stance, he's just making himself 6'7 or 6'8". He can't jump and power up over anybody like that. So it makes all of it even more awkward.
And yeah, Embiid used to have a wider stance. Do you guys remember that? I used to feel like that's why he was getting hurt.
Yeah, and falling, maybe. Yeah, I can picture that a little bit in my mind's eye. Chris?
No, I was going to say Bam, I think they were switching a lot. Since they were – Celtics were switching a lot on those pick and rolls with Jimmy and Bam. Jimmy was feeding Bam, and he was trying to attack the mismatch, and he just kept turning it over because the Celtics were helping a lot, getting active hands and – hitting the ball away. A lot of dives, the ball was getting loose. People were diving on the floor, stuff like that.
And you have to understand, a turnover on a post-up is like 1.5 turnovers, really. Because if you're going to enter the post and get the ball down there, like you need to get a shot off. Like there's turning the ball over down there is not an option. Even if it's not like a pick six because it's closer to your basket, it's like if you're going to get it down there, you get the shot off at the very least. Now, that problem with that is that Bam isn't really great at finishing anyway. So it's not like it's a turnover, but it's not usually a very good shot. And I just couldn't understand why they thought that would have been, you know, on the road. The crowd is amped up. It's like, what are you doing? This is not it. Get him in the high post, get them sprinting around for handoffs and all those looks. It was weird that that didn't happen. And if I get the video done tomorrow before I have to go on the road, like I probably would spotlight that. So, but here's a question. Are we taking are we not giving enough credit to the Celtics for what they were doing, you know, to take them out of that? In my mind, it's not the Celtics that did anything that had them not run that action, right? You know, it's like run the action, do it. But they didn't even go to it, and they were doing this other weird decisions. I don't know. Was it the Celtics, you know, somehow pressuring them into getting so crazy they couldn't run their offense?
It was part of it. There was a lot more defensive intensity. But I also feel like Bam always had an issue with not wanting to be like a rim roller. He wants to post up. He wants to kind of take like those star shots in the mid range. He wants to initiate offense, kind of like a Draymond-ish type player, Jokic, but he never just sets screens and rolls. And that would – people talk about spacing around the perimeter and vertical lob threats, but another way to space is actually just rolling hard to the rim, and he really doesn't like to do that. And he has all the talent and abilities to be great at that.
Right. And rolling hard to the rim opens up corner threes.
Yes.
Speaking of the lob, Coach, you pointed out an interesting lob pass tonight.
I did. When's the last time you guys saw a baseline lob over the rim that they threw?
Was that a missed shot, or was that really a pass?
I think it was a pass.
Derek White, it looked like that's what he wanted, and Rob Williams was there, you know. I've never seen that. Have you guys?
Never.
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
baseline it's not, though.
It's a tough pass too, it's got a rim in the way
and the guy's got to know when he's ready. I mean, you know, granted, at least he's facing you, right? He's not like moving and running. At least for that one he was standstill, so it's maybe a little easier, but I can't picture that at all. And and you know, kudos. I mean, that must be the indication of how well the Celtics were moving together and playing well together, that they could even do something crazy like that. But that said, there were moments when the Celtics, you know, looked a little bit ragged too. And we still see some of the stuff, but some of the turnover things, not in volume, that they struggle with, that you really shouldn't see at this level. So both these teams have a little bit of something. That's why you were thinking that, you know, I kept saying it was over. I thought the game was over in the third quarter when it started, basically the second half started. It really just felt like it was over. You were saying there's a lot of time left. It can happen. We know the Celtics could do this and maybe fall apart a little bit. And that is true. And we've seen it. But, there are times when you just know it's not the Heat's night.
They never felt the pressure. They never really felt the pressure of having their backs against the wall in an elimination game, right? It just felt like, you know, the Celts had the rein the whole way.
Yeah. Once that first three went down, it was, and the crowd got into it. Because again, the crowd's really important. We can't underestimate that. And they're really loud, I think. Has anyone ever been to the Garden? Whatever they call it?
TD North.
I've been to the real Garden.
Oh, I wish. But I've been to the Chicago Stadium.
I played in the Garden.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about Madison Square Garden, not the original Garden in Boston.
Oh, the real
Garden. that's a mecca, man. We'll have to go to a Knicks game next time I'm in New York, because I love going there.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right, we got this another Super Chats. Thank you so much, everybody. Jade Race. We've seen teams go up 3-0 before, but this feels different. Like the Celtics have taken control of the series if they can keep hitting shots. I mean, it's a big if, yes. And I don't know if it feels different or not. Because a lot of times if it's 3-0, like maybe what we saw with the Lakers and Denver, a couple of those games were close, right? And they really kind of could have gone either way, a couple plays here or there. So you can kind of feel like, maybe they'll get one, and that kind of breaks the ice. This, though, I don't know. It felt like the Celtics – okay, let me call it up again for the first four, because I know that there was at least – there was a huge blowout in game three. So that's something. What else?
Game one was close.
Game one and two were close.
Yeah. So, you know, that if you were a Celtics fan, you'd probably say something like that, right? So game one was by seven, and it was kind of close, sort of. Game two was by six, and that was, you know, yeah. And then the game three debacle. But then the game four debacle in the other way. So the Celtics have two blowouts now to the Heat's one. So yeah, it definitely feels like there's something going on here where when we talk about this, it could easily get to seven games. And at that point, you know, you can't pick against the home team. They win 70%+ of the time.
I think the Heat will win the next one.
Yeah, probably. I ain't going to watch it live, so I won't know until afterwards, but that sounds
You'll probably see it on Twitter.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll probably like pop out the phone and watch maybe a minute on the League Pass if I can. But thank you so much, Jade, for that one. And we have another one, Flambeau. Flambeau 123. Who do you think is the best coach for the Bucks and why? And would Portland be desperate enough to go after Chris Middleton in a sign and trade? That's interesting. I'll answer the first one. It's down to Nurse and Kenny, right? We talked about this in the last show, right? Combo. I think Kenny is a pretty good fit there. He's out of the box.
Are they the finalists?
They're both out of the box.
Yeah, they're both out of the box.
No, I'm saying are those
what?
Those are the finalists. Those are the two finalists for the position.
That was reported, I think, earlier today that those are, I think there's nobody else. It's those two guys. So the question is, like, would there be a big difference? Like, maybe not. I mean, I know Kenny was really great in Brooklyn with he developed players and he was able to put them in positions with good spacing that they could, you know, attacking on the catch is a big one. Everyone's kind of caught up, but I feel like when he was in Brooklyn and they had Kurutz. Like, you know, that guy came out of nowhere, right? And look at him now. He didn't even make – he was out of the league after Kenny left. But, like, that was a good example of, like, they got really great spacing. They were able to, you know, maximize the individual skills of their players. You know, a lot like what we're seeing in this conference in the Eastern Conference Finals now. So he would be really, really pretty good. The question now is like, how would that work? Like, how would Nurse work with Giannis, and how would Kenny work with Giannis? That's a big tall order. You have to deal with Giannis and his specific skill set, right? And that's a real question. Could you do anything different than what Bud did?
I think they have probably both a bunch of ideas running through their head, and they probably presented that to the team, and the team will figure out who had the better presentation and who will be the better coach. I would go with Nick Nurse. He has championship experience. Kenny Atkinson feels a little bit more like a guy that could develop a team, which Bud was already great at. And I feel like Nick Nurse could take it home with his really, like, he has really outside the box thinking. Like, he doesn't care what the rest of the NBA is doing. He'll just do his own thing. And I think he could be really creative with Giannis.
Yeah, I'm trying to give an example of what would be really creative, because it's like, you know, you'd probably want him posting up maybe more. I just would like to see him shooting less, you know, mid-range jump shots and threes. I just don't think, you know, it's going to – Giannis is really going to get there. And those are the uglier possessions they have. So, but the real question now is, which folds into the Middleton question, let's just say Middleton isn't there, then I don't know. They need that playmaker. So they need the Kyrie or they need the Harden, you know, that kind of guy there. It sounds like Harden's gone. Sounds like maybe Harden's in Houston already. I don't know. But what if Harden went to Milwaukee?
That'd be interesting. I think with Giannis, the free throw shooting is a lot more important than the 3-point shooting.
Yeah. Although I thought he was okay. Did they go down again?
Went down. Like his championship, obviously that final run, he was great, but it just hasn't been consistent since.
65%, which is down from 72% the year before. So that's not good. And he's
if somebody could get him up to like 79, 78, which I think is possible. Like there's some things he could do to help his free throw.
There is. It would That'd take a lot tough. Of work.
Yeah. I wonder if Giannis and James Harden would get along well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Harden is a
– They don't already. Remember the All-Star thing?
Oh, yeah. I remember the dribbler.
James Harden was like, yeah, he's like the dribbler. And then James Harden was like, if I could just dunk every time too, it would be easy for me too. You know, like they were just going
back and forth.
I don't think James Harden would step foot in Milwaukee for a home. I don't think that's a place for him.
But he needs that. And Kyrie would also be probably a real nightmare. But they need someone who can do that, play that way alongside Giannis. And that's why, like, you know, Middleton did with the best he possibly could as that guy, pretty much, in that role.
But why would the Bucks get rid of Middleton?
Right. Well, I don't know. If it's a sign and trade, injury. It sounds like, what's his contract status? Do we know?
Who are they trading?
Who's?
It would be Simons, right? Leaving anyway, right? You want to get something back for him. Is he leaving? Is he a free agent? Let's look here. You guys know real quick? I'm testing your knowledge of the
– He should be.
He's on the contract for next year. Wow.
Do you want him
next year? No?
I'm only going to guess. 35?
No, next year he's making 40.
Whoa.
Good for you, Chris Middleton. Wow.
The other thing with the 40 Bucks,
million. You know, I mean,
people are discounting the fact that Giannis basically missed three of the playoff games. So
yeah, people don't talk about that.
We don't need to change anything up here. It's a championship team.
Yeah. So he's still
Is Brooke Lopez a free agent?
He might be. That sounds familiar to me.
He is.
That's, yeah. I mean, that'll be a tough loss for them.
You know, he wasn't as impactful this past year as he had been in the past, for whatever reason. You know, there were moments when he was a cheat code, right? He's a guy who could block some shots, he's hitting threes. I just don't feel like that wasn't his thing this year. But
he wasn't wasn't he like top three in defensive player of the year?
He had a great regular season.
This year? I'm just saying in the playoffs. I didn't.
You're talking playoffs, okay.
You know, I'm just trying to. Did he hurt? No, he played all his games, yeah. So, my memory right now, which is mush after this playoff run because I've been hardly sleeping for a month. But, my memory was he didn't have that effect on the games like he normally would. But I don't know. That's interesting. If Brook Lopez is worth trying to bring back or not.
I think he is. But
there you go. Let's move some more Super Chats, I think. Let's see here.
The Super Chats.
Yeah. It's not like the other one we were on. What was that?
Keep It a Buck. That's a good podcast.
I was on Keep It a Buck. Have you heard of these guys?
No. That's a good name.
Keep It a Buck. It's some podcast that they'll do live show. They record like kind of what we're doing here. Somebody gave them like $100.
Yeah.
In a
and then chat. 20.
Yeah.
And then 20, keep It a Buck. That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Unless we misread it, but it said 100. Right?
No, it was 100.
Wow. Anyway, Joe B. Thank you so much, nice. Joe B. We're back. I mean, he's above and beyond. I will give Giannis this much. At least he's willing to challenge opposing defenses who leave him wide open, unlike a certain someone we know.
And he's talking about Ben.
That's who I was thinking. But who else? But Ben didn't even play this year.
Draymond? No. Not Draymond.
Joel?
I think it's Ben Simmons.
Right. No one's leaving Joel open, wide open like that. Okay.
Russ?
Joe B., who are you referencing? Listen,
I think it's Ben,
but he didn't even play this.
But he sent out that what was it the picture of him watching the Sixers game set.
Yeah, you know what? I need to do a show where I just react to the whatever the NBA players are doing on social media. Right? I actually had that like years ago, and I did a couple. I might have to bring that back. Because it's pretty funny, and especially now that you keep seeing it. I think you see how do you say his name?
Sochan. I don't know.
Jeremy Sochan. The Spurs?
So is it Sochan? Yeah, the Spurs. Why am I saying it? He had a funny one, right? With like the crying laughing emoji, and we had to kind of decipher exactly what he meant. I think it was the Lakers losing, right? Or
yeah, I think it didn't have to do with LeBron or something like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes people decipher tweets in the wrong way and it becomes consensus for no reason and they're just absolutely wrong.
Welcome to my world. I mean, I did a tweet today where I showed Jimmy following the ball with his eyes on the release and then in parentheses, in the next sentence, I said, most of the great shooters do this. And then the guy's like, oh, Jimmy's a great shooter now? And I'm like, no, who said that? You know,
he's actually a better shooter than people think.
Yeah, but he's not like a great shooter from three. And,
right.
We don't really ever be. But the point being, like, I thought it was, you know, the parentheses in the second sentence, I thought that was clear. Like, we are, you know, whatever. But I taught English in high school, so maybe I'm, you know, I know too much. Okay.
You're very advanced.
Show, back with us for another show. Giannis' injury in the season didn't help his percentages. His percentage. What percentage are we talking about?
His three. But what injury did he have? What injury did he have again?
I mean, he had a back, right? For the
He fell on it, right? Yeah.
But he's thinking during the regular season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He missed 19 games during the regular season. So,
well, let's look at what he 20%. Shot. I can tell you right now what he shot for the first half of the season. Let's do that. So through the 111.
Look at this.
So let's go.
What those are good.
Let's isolate the first. Oh, come back here. Stats. All right, this is beautiful. We can go to the stats thing, traditional stats, select the Bucks, and then we can do so from like what 10:05, 22 to what I say 111, 112, 23. All right, so Giannis in the first half of the season. Oh, god darn it, regular season. shot. Giannis shot from the free throw line 65%. So he was not any better before that injury.
Hmm. Oh, 35 well. Games.
I feel 35. Like his routine got a little longer from compared to last year.
Whoever told him to take the 10 seconds, I think, was also silly. It just became a distraction. The crowd was counting. That was a couple of years ago, right? That was when he won. But yeah, that didn't help him. That's not going to help him. What's going to help him is better energy transfer, right, Jan? Combo, what we've been talking about this whole time. And, you know, I almost should show you the kid I was working with yesterday because his shot was so violent. And then within an hour, if you see the difference, you think I should show him? Maybe he won't mind, will he?
I don't know. I don't know if you should be showing that. Just oh, really? Without his permission.
Nah, that's true. All right, I won't show, but maybe I'll ask
him next time. Because he's a high school kid.
So. Fair enough. But anyway, the point being that, like, you know, it's possible. And a guy like Giannis, within an hour, you could probably have that smooth out a little bit, at least, you know, in the short term. And then you have to kind of, you know, do it for a few weeks. But, you know, he can be helped. I just don't know why it hasn't happened yet. Wow, I mean,
he
listen.
Hasn't met the right person.
Joe, you just, nice I can't get over how, yeah. The Keep It A Buck crew are hilarious. We'll give them some love. By the way, just so you understand, I became aware of them because they tagged me on Twitter to light the crap out of me for my Doc Rivers video. And they're like, we're having a live show. We're talking about my – and they literally had a picture-in-picture going through it. So I clicked on it. I'm like, all right, let's see. I didn't know it was going to be a session against me. And so all of a sudden I'm watching the show and they're just ripping me to shreds. I'm like, okay. And I started commenting. They said, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Ben actually happened to be over that time too. So he came on the show with me. Well, had a great time.
Great time.
Yeah. So that was
they
fun.
Loved you.
Yeah. I think we were able to, you know, make my point, which by the way, is a good point that we talked about, right. About the effect of a coach on players and their bad plays and how they all cascade. So, you know, once you see the Celtics start making threes, there's a group think there. There's like an energy that really helps. That's what you want. Threes raining down. Defense is now a lot hyped up and they're getting this plays versus when you start panicking and then the coach increases the panic, you ain't going to make any threes. And then it's going to get worse and worse. So I think I made that point. I think they were able to accept it a little bit. And now we have a new friend of the breakdown. So thank you so much, Joe B. I mean, again, above and beyond. These super chats won't stop coming. This is amazing tonight. Oh, and then here, Joby is explaining now his rationale. It was a general statement, but yeah, it was Ben. So good call on the Ben Simmons. I was kind of lost, but yeah, probably because he hadn't played, but good call on Ben Simmons being the guy who they won't guard.
Ooh, Luke D.
Luke D. And A, what is A? I missed it in the comments. Someone tell me, I'll be looking right now, what the heck A is. Is it Australia? But Australia doesn't have the
sounds
dollars.
Like it.
Maybe they do.
Yeah, they have Australian dollars.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The currency in Australia is a dollar?
Yeah.
You know that for sure?
I'm 60% sure.
All right. Well, you know, if we only had to look at this up on, you know, and figure it out. But Luke D wants to ask, or love your work, lads. He's calling us lads. So he's easily, obviously, Australian or England, right?
He's not American.
No.
Would you say, I'm guessing Australian.
Google.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. No, would you say sure. My – I won't try and do this in an Australian accent, though. But
please do it.
No, would you say – I can't even do it. If I heard it, I could do it. I need to, like, hear it first. Would you say – did you ever see that? What was that
– Crocodile Dundee.
What was that video? That's not a knife.
No, yeah, that's a knife. That's not a knife. That's
yeah, right. But there was
– All of Australia is just going like this.
Wait, have you seen that video, though, that viral video where the guy teaches you how to speak in an Australian accent and he says, say – like broken glass. You know what I'm talking about? If it's not broken glass, but it's something, when you say it, it's Australian for like something. No, someone will tell us in the comments.
The combo is in there like, I can't believe I'm listening to this.
I know. Listen, we have to have, it's the end of the show. We have to have some fun. Love your work, lads. Would you say Miami was careless with the ball today or more Celtics defense? What were your thoughts on the don't give us one comments after game three? Well, here's the thing. I must have yelled out five times on terrible turnovers. That is my meter for whether or not it was a good defensive call or like the offense just threw it away. So I would probably lean a little bit to carelessness, right? More so. But you have to also give credit to the Celtics defense, which was energized and they were flying around there and moving. But a couple of those, you know, and I realized in my video today, like when Jimmy turned the ball over in a pick six or he had a foul Brown in transition in game four, he threw a bounce pass on a curl. You know, when you throw a bounce pass to someone, the ball is supposed to bounce pretty close to the receiver, right? Three quarters of the way there. He bounced this like on his side of the halfway mark. and the ball like sat up. It was like the worst kind of bounce pass you can imagine. So get back in the gym, work on your bounce passes. I feel like I saw another bounce pass tonight that did the same thing. So I think it was more careless than Celtics defense. Anyone want to push back on that?
It was the Bam turnovers, and there was nothing in particular that the Celtics were doing to cause those turnovers other than just playing good D. And it's Miami's fault, whether it's Bam posting up, Spo letting Bam post up, whatever it was the Bam turnovers. And there was nothing particularly special other than just playing good defense that the Celtics were doing to cause those turnovers. So it was mostly a Miami problem, not a Boston problem.
Anybody want to disagree?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think the defense from the Celtics has had more energy over the past three halves. And also they're contesting threes better, I think. Over the past three halves as well. So I think those have been the main difference for the Celtics defense. But on top of that, I agree with you guys that Miami was careless with the basketball.
Yeah. So thank you, Luke. Yeah. From
Australia. Australian dollars.
Right. We're not going to say the thing that they all hate us to say. We're not going to use the phrase. So here we go. Comrade Chimpy, thank you so much. I think Comrade Chimpy's been on the show before. That sounds familiar. Another Australian. All right.
Well, it's big in Australia.
Yeah, it's like noon there or something, right? But it's tomorrow there or something. I don't even know. Finally caught one of these live. All right. Any thoughts on the coaching carousel regardless of success? It seems only Kerr, Spo, and Pop are untouchable. Yeah. I mean, if you win the Coach of the Year award, you're getting fired within a couple of years, right? I think that's pretty much the standard. And I suppose I don't think he ever won it, right? Somehow he's doing it right. He stayed away from that reward. So we've had this before. There was several years ago where we had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 coaches got fired all in the offseason. So it happens, and it probably is, maybe it's connected to that one because like the 5-year contracts that expire or whatever. And actually it's not true because they're getting fired before the contract's up. Right. So, you know, it's an easy thing to do is to point at the coach. We have all these analytics now. We have all these ways of ascertaining whether the team is playing up to their potential. And so, you know, does that make it more accurate that it's the coach's issue? I don't know. But what do you guys think?
You know who's pretty untouchable at this point as well? I just thought about who? Mark Daigneault.
Oh, in OKC. Okay, interesting. Why?
He's not getting fired anytime soon. Because they're ascending upwards. They're going to keep ascending upwards just by their talent.
I would think so. And I think everyone likes him. What about Chris Finch?
Yeah. No,
I don't believe
he's untouchable. They say he's a good coach. They say he's a good coach.
If you listen to his interviews, it's obvious he's a smart basketball guy. That's for sure.
But his players just play the decision making that team has is just like,
that's the personnel more than anything, I think.
Well, but at some point, the coach needs to have influence.
Yeah.
In practice, you have to figure out a way to get them to stop doing those things, right? Like
the maturity level just isn't there.
But back in the day,
you would have slower practices, and you would have been able to go through all this in scrimmages. Like, you know, that just simply does not happen anymore. So it is tough, but some coaches are – well, it's hard to know, right? Some coaches have teams that don't do those mistakes consistently, right? And other coaches do, and you have to wonder what the heck it is.
You know, if you're a good coach and you get to a almost championship level, the expectations raise, and only one team can win a championship every year. So that means a bunch of coaches are going to get fired. The NBA is a job – NBA head coaching is a job that once you go into it, you have to know that there's a pretty good chance that you will get fired eventually.
Oh, guaranteed.
There's two types of coaches. Those who've been fired, those who will be fired. Except for, I'd say, Pop. Interesting, between Kerr and Spo, right, two of the three best coaches perhaps in the league, two of the three untouchable coaches, one Coach of the Year award, and that's Steve Kerr. Spo's never won Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm. It's because they haven't
won any for those teams? That's crazy. Well, yeah. With the Heatles.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
He didn't win one.
You know, the thing is, in the last 10, 15 years, it's become a lot harder to trade players, especially superstar players. And there's always one, maybe every year. But I think as that has become less, happens less often, when teams are looking for a change, instead of trading a player, it's getting rid of the coach. And I think generally that's a bad move, because what you want in the coaching staff is continuity. And so if you get
some of these young players have played for five different coaches in 5 different years, mm-hmm. and then it's messing up their careers.
And potentially on a team or two that were tanking. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a really bad for the culture. It's really bad just for, you know, the development. So all those things. Yeah, it's interesting being a coach in the NBA these days.
Somehow general managers never fire themselves, though.
Well, right. We see if – I think it is going to be the Heat and Denver, and we see those are two coaching staffs that do have continuity. So, yes. To your point, I think that's true.
100%. And even the Celtics.
I mean, by the way, but look at the head coaches the last –
it's not like, the head coach, right?
Yeah.
That's been crazy.
From Brad Stevens on,
right.
It's been
– Yeah.
It's been continuity. Yeah.
But like, none of the coaches who coached in the finals the last 5 years are still in their jobs, right? Something crazy like that, right? Like Nick Nurse –
Vogel,
Williams. Monty Williams was in the finals. Oh yeah, the Phoenix, right? And then Milwaukee, Boot Bud, right? There might be even one more. It's like none of them, and then those are all very recently, you know, at either winning titles or made it to the finals.
Craziness.
Actually,
so maybe they.
Nick Nurse, Bud,
except for Monty.
Vogel. Nick Nurse, Bud, Vogel. That's crazy,
right? And then Monty didn't win, but got to the finals.
Yeah.
A lot of people who were in NBA analytics and on NBA coaching staffs, they actually like go over to like podcasting and media. There's probably a reason for it. It's a lot less stressful and there's a lot more job security.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
You know, Jeff
and a lot more family time.
Right. Jeff Van Gundy is living the life. I, by the way, I think it's tired. I think him and Jackson need to go away. They've had the run. It's been how many years? 15?
I love Jeff Van Gundy.
I still love him, though. I love Jeff.
There was one game he was complaining for the whole first half.
It's tired. I'm tired.
Like he's a smart basketball guy, though.
It's sort of fun. It used to be funny, whatever, but I'm tired of it. I think I would like, and not like, oh, I want that job, but like, there's somebody out there that's probably awesome at analyzing and then to play at the, well, both of them analyze, you know, I would at some point, you know, it's like, imagine this. Imagine if you were the biggest Dodger fan in the world and you were the, you know, the best play by play guy for, you know, for baseball. And you were like 2 years younger than Vin Scully. Right. You would never get to call a Dodgers game, even if you were the best in the entire world, because Vin Scully was there for 75 years. You know, let someone else have it. I don't know.
I think the future of sports commentating is like what we see with playback. It's going to be like you could watch your favorite creators, you know, commentate on games and pick who you want to commentate. We're already seeing a little bit. Like, I think they have like during the All-Star break, you could see like Kenny and Chuck commentated instead of the regular commentators, but there's just going to be more options like that in the future.
Yeah. No, on League Pass, they have guys like me doing that. They could ask.
Exactly.
They do it every few games, right? Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. Nate Duncan does games and a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah. Nate and Danny do it. And some of the other influencers, Devin Williams did one or two. And so, hey, I'm available and I would do it as well as them or better. Whatever. We have to get back to our playback stuff.
We used to do it a whole bunch.
What did you say?
Behind my back?
I'm not. I told you, man. I told you I'm not.
All right. Well, we got to do that again. Let's get back. I mean, you know, we'll get back on it. We'll see. Hey,
you know what? Finals would be great.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some finals. So if you're out there watching, join us in the playback side. I'll make sure to drop it in the community link because they're really fun. And it's great to have a second thing. And we can all watch it. It's on the screen together. It's not like you're listening or whatever. We can all watch. It's all synced. It's really cool. But let's get to sports.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I feel like you were one of the first ones to do it on playback.
I probably was. Yeah, I'll get back to it. 24 seconds. Brooke averaged 19-7 on 58-41-77 split in 36-6 in game six. Wait, what? Okay, let me do that again. Brooke averaged 19-7 on 58-41-77 split. 36 in game
six. Per 36.
No, I think he had 36 in game six. This year.
No, he had like.
Did it go to six games?
Is this a riddle?
No, they got. Did they get swept?
Wasn't it?
No, it was five.
They lost in five, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe he means like the first 35 games or something. I don't know.
But
24 seconds. Give us some clarity.
Maybe you're right. It's because 19-7. I don't think that's what he was. Although, let's look here. Where's Brook Lopez? Per game, he was at 15.9 and 7. So maybe he means per 36. Let's look at that.
Hmm.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, 19-8 is what he was basically.
19-8 on 53, 37, 64.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, Brooke, okay, maybe he's viable. They should bring him back. I don't know. I wonder if you can get, like, you know, another version of that for maybe less.
Not his shooting, though. We can't replace his shooting. I know. Shooting.
Well, you can't, right. You can replace the shot blocking and you can replace the shooting, but not with one player.
Yeah.
But we got to do that. We got to find someone. I mean, I guess Joel is like that maybe a little bit, but we got to find someone who is like wiry, like a Kevin Durant kind of guy, but who blocks more shots.
Cam Johnson.
Does Cam Johnson block shots?
No, but I think they should just lean into small ball and play Giannis at the five and stretch out the floor.
Wait, Cam Johnson is a free agent?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He'll make a lot of money then. I think he'll be very, very coveted. All right. Let's get to some more super chats. Riley V, thank you so much. Let me make sure I didn't miss anybody. Jeez. I think we're good.
I like this, Riley.
Rank Vogel, Bud, Monty, Doc, and D'Antoni. Wow. Okay. A murderer's row.
He has it in the right order already.
Yeah. Let's see. Vogel, Bud, Monty, Doc, D'Antoni. I put Doc at the end, though. I'm going to put D'Antoni at the end. Now I'm going to put Bud. I'm going to put D'Antoni in front of Bud. So the last two are Bud and Monty. I mean, Bud and Doc.
I like D'Antoni more than all of them.
Okay. I'm going to put Monty. The last three are Monty, Bud, and Doc. So that means Vogel, D'Antoni.
Okay, wait. So
but what about D'Antoni's defense?
Nick, what's your ranking?
Defense, Vogel, defense. D'Antoni, Bud, Monty, Doc.
All right. Combo, what's your ranking?
D'Antoni, Monty. D'Antoni, Bud, Monty, Vogel, Doc.
Interesting. Chris, what's your ranking?
Mine is Vogel, Bud, D'Antoni, Doc.
Okay, and mine's Vogel, D'Antoni, Bud, Doc, Monty. So we're all different.
I'm the other way. I'm changing it. It's Vogel, D'Antoni, Monty. I'm Bud and Doc. I agree with you now. I
definitely
ahead of Bud.
I definitely agree. I think I have Vogel too.
I have Vogel, D'Antoni. Oh yeah.
Right? You have Monty, Bud, and Doc. Okay. So yeah,
they're all good. Well, they're all good coaches.
Vogel is hiring him, and he hasn't even been mentioned, right? He must not want another job.
Vogel
actually
in the first place.
Well, the Celtics wanted. Well, Brad Stevens wanted to bring him onto his coaching staff.
Bring him on playback.
All right. Well, you know let's see if we get Coach Vogel to be on the show. If he's probably Colada by a pool somewhere. He has time. Because I'm sure he still has a lot of money that maybe he got paid from the Lakers. So
I have a question. So Combo, I'm big on D'Antoni too. Do you want to say why you're big on D'Antoni, and Coach, do you want to say why you're not big on D'Antoni?
Yeah, I mean, I love everything he did with the Suns, 7 seconds or less offense. I love everything he did in Houston. I thought, obviously, it didn't work, but they kind of pushed forward the small ball era, and I just love thinking outside the box, even though that's not outside the box anymore. They just play with five guys that could stretch it, five guys that could defend. Obviously, it didn't work, but I just love the way he thinks the game.
I agree. Offensively, obviously, he's a genius. He's revolutionized what we have. But he really just took what they did in Europe, which is really what they did in the triangle offense. Believe it or not, there's like a direct connection between the D'Antoni offense and the triangle offense. And I interviewed D'Antoni. You can find it on the channel at the Summer League years ago. And we talked about his offense. And he was like, yeah, it was just all the actions that we ran in Europe when I played there. So,
Go ahead. Go ahead, guys.
And, defense is a defense, but, they had moments where they kind of revolutionized switching defense. That were the sort of the first one in Houston to really kind of do some cool stuff with that. So I'll give him, I'm sure he'll get a defensive person if he ever coached again to kind of shoring that up.
I feel like the offense wasn't like what I saw in Europe, because there was a lot of like 4-5 action going up and down, pick and pop. Like that James Harden was nothing like European offense.
Oh, that offense. Yeah, you're right. I'm talking about with the Suns. Yeah. They had a little bit of that. And then Chris Paul got there. They would run it when Harden went out. Chris, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I remember Steve Kerr mentioned this. When he used to be the GM for the Suns, he wanted to hire Tom Thibodeau on the coaching staff for the defense, but then Tony didn't let him.
Wow.
And they didn't. And I was like, wow, they could have. All they had to do was just shore up the defense just a little bit, and they probably would have won at least one championship. Yeah. Those teams were so good back then.
Well, it just never happened. It's a little bit later, right? That was they Shaq on one of those teams that brought in. It was a little bit later.
Yeah, Mario.
You're right, but like you know, that would have been unfortunate, or that would have been really interesting to see. We have to catch up with some super chats real quick. The Drew Show, thank you. My goodness, Giannis Feb suffered a ligament injury on his shooting hand. I said it didn't help matters. Okay, you came to your own conclusions. Everything snowballed in his head. Ended his year over. Got the coach fired. Well, I don't know how much he got the coach fired. Remember, Bud was about to be fired anyway in that Brooklyn series, and had Giannis injures Kawhi, and then Kevin Durant's foot is 1 inch too long. And then they go on to win the title, which is crazy, right? But the issues that they had that were going to cause them to get fired then were still there and lasted through those years until this year. So whether it's fair or not because of the Giannis injury and he wasn't in those games is a good argument. But the issues are there. I was always troubled by their defense and their schemes. And then offensively too, I sort of felt like, they didn't maximize what they had, even though I bet you their offensive rating was probably pretty good. But when you get to the conference finals or the second round, you need better.
Also, we're getting a bunch of comments from Australia. So it's now 155.
Razor Blades. That's it. Razor Blades sounds like, no, you haven't seen that. There's an Australian guy who says, I want you to say this word. He goes Razor Blades. And you're saying something else in Australian.
Razor Blades.
What does it sound like? When you do it, you're like, oh my God, I was speaking in an Australian accent. Mirror or something. I don't know.
So it's 1:55 p.m. now in Australia. So that means it's the afternoon, Friday afternoon in Australia right now, which means these are the true Australian basketball fans are on in the afternoon.
Okay. Rise up lights. Rise up lights. So if you say the words rise up lights, rise up lights is razor blades. There you go. Thank you so much. Let's put this up on the screen. Thank you so much. Melting to air.
Love the profile.
Yeah, that was huge. Thank you so much. Rise up. What did I say? Rise up. Rise up lights. Right? Isn't that hilarious? It sounds like I'm speaking Australian.
you're the only one. We're here for basketball.
Yeah. Listen, all I do is I watch, animal videos, and I love that stuff. Yeah. And especially when it's when you interspecies videos. I want to see a puppy riding on a duck. Like, that's how
Now it's in my own thing. I got to say this. There was this video I watched today. I think it's Good News Dog is the Instagram post. And it was a woman who's in a wheelchair graduating from college, and she has her dog, the assistant's dog, and they give the dog takes the diploma like in his mouth. I'm in tears.
Wow. All right, we got too many super chats. We're getting late in the show, so let's rattle these off and we'll be on. Joe B, man, you are an all-star Hall of Famer tonight. Thank you so much. Personally, I suspect nurses' removal is a sign of things to come, i.e. Toronto's probably about to blow it up and rebuild around Scotty Barnes. All right.
Maybe.
Scotty Ball.
Toronto doesn't really blow, or Masai doesn't really blow things up, though.
Well,
yeah.
He's probably in a position
if you were going to blow it up, you blow it up this year and go for Wembanyama.
Yeah, they should have.
They should hire.
I think nurses removal. They probably should, but.
Wait, I haven't heard anything about the Toronto search. Have we? Have you? Have
JJ Redick, weren't they? Were they interviewing Redick?
Yeah, but that's new. They just announced it to make him to get his name, in the mix for this round. But no, right? Nothing else.
Tom Izzo.
I'm fucking with you.
Yikes! All right.
What about Adrian? Adrian, he's already on the coaching roster.
Yeah, he's up for Milwaukee. He might be the third name in the moment. Maybe Milwaukee, which we know is not. He's not going to get it. He was
give it to Patino.
What?
Patino,
man. Isn't he here at St. John's?
Yeah, St. John's. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to turn that program around.
So anyhow, I don't know. I mean, you know, OG's got a lot of value on the league, and so does Siakam. I imagine, like, you know, there's some guys, they have pieces that they wanted to trade and then get some picks and stuff like that. But you made a good point in that show on the Make It a Buck where, you know, you would much rather have a known quantity than a third or fourth pick. Like, yeah. If you knew a guy was going to get you 18 points a game, you'd probably just take that in exchange for a third pick. Yeah. Because it's a crapshoot when you look at those third picks throughout the years.
The example I used was I'd rather trade that for a Josh Hart or a Brandon Clark, someone who's productive, you know what you're getting, young player, but has been in the league and produced in the league.
But what do you? But what's the end goal with a player like Josh Hart? What are you winning with him, right? I'd rather But you I stars know. Win. Yeah. Stars win game, win playoff series, right? Oh.
When's the last time we saw anything beyond, you know, that fifth pick anyway? Like, by the way, Jokic, right, 41st. Like, that's right. That is the all-time greatest second-round pick, right? There's no – you'll never
– Manu Ginobili? Only Ginobili?
Yeah. Ginobili. So that's I mean, part of it too. But anyhow, so yeah, so we'll see. I bet you – I think it's time. I think Toronto gave it a run. I don't think this is really working that well. And I think you're right. It sounds interesting that, like, you know, that they get rid of Nurse first and they'll tear it all down. So – and maybe it's a good thing for Nurse not to be there because it could have gotten ugly for a couple of years. So good call. But we have some more sort of to get to them. So the Drew Show, my goodness, thank you, the Drew Show. You're really coming through here. The head coach and GM go hand in hand for stability.
Totally agree.
Pop is 3-time coach of the year. Doc Rivers was traded for a first-round pick. Now he's clowned on, still getting a prime job. I don't think Doc's going to get hired again. Not that quick, right? I don't think so. Right? Would you guys agree?
He's never been.
Who knows?
He'll get another chance probably right. Somewhere.
Doc reminds me of that guy who's always got a girlfriend. Uh-huh. You know, as soon as he breaks up, he's got to find another girlfriend right away. Cannot be single, right?
I heard he's really charismatic and good in interviews, which helps you get jobs.
Yeah, it does. You know what also helps you get jobs? Winning. What?
No, winning helps you keep jobs.
Right. He won. I don't want to take that away from him, but you know.
Yeah,
he
won a championship.
Is that it? That might be the there's more. People are coming flying in here.
Love it.
Let's see here. That one was
we got a New Zealand one on deck. Okay. Let's get to the other ones.
Okay, so 24 seconds. Clarify.
How many are left, Coach?
What?
How many are left?
One, two. After this one, three. Okay.
Okay.
Because you're probably tired. We gotta get Combo to bed. 24 seconds, and then you have to go to bed. Let us know. We can keep going. Chris, are you hanging in there?
I'm good. Chris, Nick, and I will do our Australian.
I'll wait.
Razor blades.
I'll wait it out. Let's go.
Not razor blades. What is it? God, I like razor. Rise up lights. Rise up lights. Anyway,
rise up lights is razor blades. Okay.
You just got that now? Wow. Anyway, Brooks playoff stats in 30. Who let him here? Brooks playoff stats in 30 season game 4 versus the Heat. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, all right, he can do some things still, but you know, at some point it gets stale, and I think maybe you want to just sort of upgrade or flip it around and change it. But you know, because Lopez would probably still fetch something on the market. You know,
see, I disagree. Like, he's the perfect complement to Giannis. He blocks shots and hits threes.
He spaces
the floor for Giannis.
I'm not arguing. All right, Joe B, man. I mean, this guy's drunk on super chats tonight. D'Antoni's Suns teams were typically middle of the pack defensively. If Tibbs had been there as defensive coordinator, they would have been awesome, right? And by the way, if you're an elite offensively, then you know you need a 10th defensive rating, maybe. You know,
yeah, you have to be at least top 10 to win. I don't think any team outside the top 10 has won.
Right. That is true. So yeah, and Tibbs would have, you know, no middle. They would have kept the you know, they would have been better positionally. They would have made it harder to, you know, to make.
Who were their
shots.
Defenders? Sean Marion.
Yeah, they had Raja Bell. There was like they have Nash, Amari, and then
Grant Hill,
Barbosa.
No, that was later. Hill was later.
Who else was on the start of the net? Who was
Joe Johnson? Joe Johnson originally
in the beginning. Yeah, it was Joe and Nash in the backcourt, and Amari probably and
Sean Marion.
Let's call it Sean Marion. Maybe for 1 year that was together, and then there's another guy that we're missing.
Some other shooter,
small forward. Oh boy,
Dio.
Boris Dio. Was he starting though? He might have been. Yeah.
No. Wow. I think he came off the bench.
Yeah. So who was the starter? Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking.
In 07,
right now.
Let's call it.
Kurt Thomas, Jalen Rose, wow. Sean Marks. Sean.
That was before they let Amari play at the center, I think, right? Like they kept having somebody play.
Sean Marion.
James Jones.
We'll figure it out. Anyway, well, let's keep going because we got people who are waiting. George Ignacio Calvine. Just want to say you have fans in the Philippines. Puso, absolutely. Thank you. That means Puso means like heart, you know.
You know, there's a coach in the Philippines who's a triangle disciple. Tim Cohn.
Oh, it's my buddy Tim Cohn.
There you go.
He's been on the show. He's a brother. He's my brother from another
month. See, I should have already known.
Yeah, Coach Tim, he's great. He's not a triangle coach anymore, but we were all.
You
all
told me about him. That's how I know it.
Well, all of us triangle people are, we're in the same family.
Tribe.
So, Salamat for the all the people in the Philippines. I really appreciate it. I have to get out there. I want to go. I've told you that B-ball breakdown is pretty big there and people would be really excited. So let's make that happen this summer. What do you say? All right. We got another one. Nick Morris. Thank you so much for New Zealand. Maybe I wonder if they say razor blades in New Zealand the same way.
That's where I want to go is New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. We're watching New Zealand too. Wow. Thank you so much. It's great to see. I have to get out there. I got to go to the Philippines. It's pretty close, right? New Zealand, the Philippines. It's you know,
sure,
west of here. It's west. Probably you got to go there, you know. You got to go.
It's a circle, so it's everything's west.
It's interesting west. Interesting they have a New Zealand basketball team in the Australian Basketball League.
Yes.
Yeah, the New Zealand Breakers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. Basketball's huge there. Basketball's huge in Australia, it's huge in New Zealand, and then they're not teaching shooting properly in Australia. I believe they're doing it better in New Zealand, believe it or not.
Ooh, there we go. Quentin Richardson with all the sons.
That's good. All right, we'll give Jade.
Thanks, Jade Race. Is that Silver Surfer, Jade Race? That's a dope profile pic.
Yeah. It looks like it's a pretty mean Silver Surfer, though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Please do not go to Manila. It is not safe.
Jason Richardson.
Oh, no, it's not safe. I heard Manila would probably be safe. It's the big city, right? All right. Anyway, great. Awesome show. Great to see you, Chris, as always. Great to have Ben here. Do you want to tell everybody where, like, do you want to follow you on Twitter?
Sure. I actually wrote a book. I originally met Nick because I wrote a book about coaching basketball professionally overseas in Southern Africa. So if you're interested in that, it's called Zen and the Art of Coaching Basketball. Zen and the Art of Coaching Basketball.
Yeah.
And it's about a different way of coaching, the Phil Jackson meditation, Coach Nick, positive coaching way. So if you're into basketball, you want a hell of a basketball story, it's called Zen and the Art of Coaching Basketball. My name's Ben Guest, G-U-E-S-T.
Definitely have to get it. It's riveting, and it's the story. It's not even just like the coaching methods that work too. It's the story of these kids that he's coaching. Excuse me, men.
Yeah, kids. But kids, so we took a team that had just graduated from high school, and we created a professional team in the professional league. We went 500 in the regular season, barely made the playoffs, and then
don't ruin it.
You got to buy the book.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Anything you want to shout out?
No, but I just followed you on Twitter.
All right, nice. Okay. Combo, what about you?
Combo's Court Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, he's so tired we can't barely hear him.
Combo's a soldier because it's what, 12:07 in New York.
Same for Chris. He's in Florida. So.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you guys, everybody, for being here. It was wonderful to have you. Thank you so much for the Super Chatters. I wish I could maybe name everybody, but it's like too hard. It's too many. But we'll be back here again. You know what? We're not going to be back here on Saturday because I'm out of town. I'm going to an event. I can't do it. But if there's a game 7 on Monday, right, Combo, will be back? And then you
game will. 7 or game 1?
Yeah, or game 1 Tuesday. Oh, is it Wednesday? Tuesday? Oh, it's Wednesday?
It must be Wednesday, June 1st.
Wednesday.
Right, it's Wednesday. So we'll be back for the finals for sure. Don't miss that. And, again, don't forget about razor blades. And it's not razor blades. It's Razor Blade. All right, guys. Thanks so much. And don't forget, at B-Ball Breakdown, we're not a channel. We're a conversation. You in? Are you in, guys?